All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Profit Roadmap. As always, we're your hosts, Ryan and Becca, and this is the premier podcast created for field service pros to help you grow your business, stay on top of the latest trends, and help you provide even more value to the communities that you serve. Now, today, we're super excited to welcome Jenny Benbrook and Don Wazasek from Powerhouse Consulting Group. Powerhouse Consulting Group is committed to helping service businesses get the most out of their software and help them operate with more efficiency. Well, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. So excited to be here with you both. Thank you for having us on your show.
Yeah, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having us and so glad to be here.
Glad yeah, absolutely. Let's start off with Jenny here. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and the work that you guys do over at Powerhouse Consulting?
I'd love to. I have built my career in the trades, specifically on the HVAC side. This is my 16th year, although since founding Powerhouse with Dawn, we have expanded into every vertical within the home services space. But my heart lies within the HVAC world because that's where I learned about the business and grew a deep affection for a really incredible industry that does so much work, all the work that nobody sees or thinks of until they need it. So I've had a wonderful career in the industry and it's taken me to some really exciting places. The most exciting, of course, being founding Powerhouse 4 years ago, along with Dawn and our partner, Pam. As a result of serving contractors directly, we became quite adept at utilizing software and understanding pain points and points of friction and the importance of data. And what we realized was there were so many contractors that were in similar situations where they had this really incredible tool at their disposal, but perhaps weren't quite utilizing it to its fullest extent and didn't know where to go to really understand where were they falling short? Where was the opportunity? And so without oversimplifying it, the three of us got together, having worked together at various capacities over the years, and started to formulate the concept of Powerhouse and becoming a trusted source for contractors who need that, not only software expertise, but industry expertise. And I think that's what made us so, quote unquote, powerful very early on was that we understood what it was like on the other side of the screen and could really help contractors formulate workflows or develop an understanding of how to best implement the software or even understanding what are some of those pain points that they might be experiencing in the field. So we, as I mentioned, founded the company about 4 years ago, knowing that there was a need, never could have imagined that the need was this great. And the past 4 years have been the most fulfilling that I personally have had in my career serving contractors because we are doing incredible things by fully utilizing a tool that they already have available to them.
Beautiful. Dawn, what about you? Tell us a little bit about your background and your role at Powerhouse.
Sure. So I actually did not start in HVAC. I have had many careers and I worked in film and TV and actually was a dog trainer as well. So that's where my coaching skills come from. And it was sort of natural. I moved to Texas and I was looking for a job and I answered an ad for somebody looking for an office manager and an HVAC office. And I was like, well, heck, I'm in Texas. There's always going to be AC. What a great opportunity. And little did I know where it would take me. So I've been in the business for about 10 years and I have held every single position that you could hold inside of an HVAC company. And it was just sort of a natural decision when we decided to form Powerhouse. And I feel like I bring a lot of value because I really understand office operations and how to get your software to either support your office operations or vice versa, right? So sometimes you have to change your workflows to support the software as well.
And then so actually on the subject of software, we're going to pivot into the subject of leveraging service management software for your growth. So what are some bottlenecks or like growth ceilings you've seen with contractors you've worked with or businesses you've worked with?
Some of the bottlenecks that we see, and Dawn says this so well, it stems from initial implementation in most cases where it's a big rush to get the software live, and perhaps contractors aren't aware of what that lift looks like and maybe don't dedicate time or resources into that process. But there's also a general excitement about wanting to use this new tool and let's get it going. Let's start making changes. And a lot of what we do is stress the importance of a foundation. Having a proper foundation when you're first building out that software, not just getting the data over and getting live, but thinking through your workflows. And as Dawn so poignantly said, what needs to change in order to maximize the software? It's not always the software needs to adapt to our ways because there's improvements there. So I think a rushed implementation can be a big bottleneck, but also continuous management and training is one of the areas that we see quite frequently, especially with more legacy users of a software. And this group may have a wonderful onboarding experience, but their business has changed and has grown and employees change roles or leave the company. And it looks much different a year or two or 5 years from when they first implemented it. And if they do not, going back to that foundation, if they do not have a solid foundation in place, process documentation, training plans to ensure that as the company grows and changes, that it's doing so in a scalable fashion according to how the software is set up.
So interesting when you said that, because Dawn, when you mentioned like, I know I've experienced that as a trainer. My previous role is I'd get a lot of new people onboarded and they were like, man, I wish you would just adapt your software to us and what we're used to. But it's like how you mentioned having the flexibility to adapt your workflow and your processes to this new software. So when you mentioned foundation, are you saying maybe those are things you need to be thinking about before you even purchase the software? It's like, what is your day-to-day? How do you want to implement? How do you want to onboard and train? And are those things you should be thinking about beforehand?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a big part of what we do at Powerhouse is provide that type of discovery consultation prior to any engagement, whether it's during that initial implementation phase or post-implementation all the way to legacy user. We have to gather as much information as we can first. So we seek to learn and to understand what is a contractor currently doing? What does their business look like? What resources do they have? What pain points do they have? What are they currently doing? Why is it working? Why is it not? And once we've amassed that information, we can then educate on, here's what the software is capable of. Or there's a few different ways we can do this. Let's talk through the pros and cons of each. So it's really going through a series of discovery and learning how we can get the most of this software by understanding where a contractor is currently at.
And one thing I like to say also is a lot of contractors come in to say a new software and they learn how to click the buttons. Right. So basically, how do you book a work order? How do you set up an agreement? But they actually don't think about the why or how it works for their business. Right. So there is a pretty big gap. Not that it's the FSM's fault. It's just, you know, there is a little bit of gap between what's going on in the office and the software itself. And a lot of people don't strategize and really think about beyond clicking the buttons. If everybody knows how to book a work order, that's great. But what else is everybody doing behind the scenes to make that software work for the business and also for reporting?
That's a good one.
Yeah, reporting is such a big part of software, right? We hear it all the time, all over the place. It's like, hey, my report's, you know, they're useless because of, you know, X reason or the other. but it's a lot of times it's a case of like garbage in, garbage out. So do you guys have like, I would imagine there's a focus on like making sure that what goes in the system in the first place is valuable, because if what goes in isn't right, then what comes out also isn't right as well. So
that's one of our favorite taglines.
Okay. Okay.
It's actually in my notes here.
But I think we're both laughing because some of our team just attended an industry event. Mm-hmm. Where we were asked to provide swag, the dreaded industry swag. And we really wanted to get creative and clever with what we were sending. And she was presenting on the importance of processes and how it affects your data. And so we made little garbage can squish balls and put garbage in, garbage out.
I love that.
On the squish balls. And it's wildly important. And to your point, one of the most powerful aspects of field service management software is being able to provide business owners with the data that they need to make strategic decisions on the growth of their company. Knowledge is power, but you have to trust that knowledge. And that's where breaking it down to a foundational level really becomes important in building that trust in the data.
And I like to say you get what you give, but having the education on what you're giving will help produce those results.
Yeah, we just we did a webinar recently and reporting was a big focus of it. So like it's almost like if you put the right processes in place, going back to Jenny, what you'd said about trusting the knowledge. If you put the right processes in place, and Don, like you said, if you understand the reason why those processes are important, it makes getting those reports super easy and like clear. And I feel like as a business owner, like being able to have reports you can rely on is something that is going to really, really make your life way less chaotic.
And that, you know, when we think about it from a macro level, because it's we've spoken a lot about the importance of building that foundation and knowing your workflows. And one of Dawn's, one of my most favorite presentations from Dawn is work your workflows. So not just defining them, but actually putting them into practice. All of this is I would say, a well-known concept among contractors. There are very few that I've spoken to that don't understand the need for this or conceptually what that means to have a proper foundation in place. But a lot of what we experience is strapped resources, right? These our contractors are growing incredible businesses. And as a business owner or an operations manager or service manager, everybody is wearing so many different hats. And there's only so much time available to really nurture and build out the software in a way it needs to be. And so a lot of what our customers delight in is having that third-party resource that they can reach out to and delegate some of this work to a subject matter expert, somebody who works to understand their business, their uniqueness of their company, and then do some of the heavy lifting for them. Take it off of their plate, really bring to reality this concept that everybody's more or less aware of the importance of.
How might an established service business find maybe an area for growth within their service management software? Like, is it just like, look for whoever's pulling out the most hair? Like, what does that look like?
So it's a very common question, Ryan, that we're asked when contractors first learn about who we are and what we provide or first reach out to us is, I don't really understand how you can help me. I don't know what I don't know. And they feel this burden to tell us everything that's wrong so we can come in and fix it. But that in itself is putting such a tremendous responsibility on the contractor. Essentially, it's saying, first, go learn everything, figure it out, tell us what you need, and we'll fix it. Where we come in is we understand the software. We understand your industry. Let us put our discovery hat on or detective hat. That's what Don calls it. Let's put our detective hat on. We'll go in and audit the account. start to finish, we will audit the core instance of an account in new engagements, which will allow us to bring to light the area of opportunity that we see. The data tells us so much about their business, about their workflow, about their training needs, about their configuration needs. So when we go in to perform that initial audit, we take all that stress off of the contractor of having to tell us what they need, and we present to them, here's everything. Here's what's going on in your account. Here's what we would recommend. Going back to the foundation, the software is like an ecosystem. And so there are times where we'll have to focus on one area before we can get to the contractor's end goal. But the idea is we're helping them to visualize what that roadmap looks like to get them from where they're currently at to full optimization and usage of the software.
I love that. So it's like taking advantage of those audits. I think on Field Edge Site and Service Autopilot, we do quarterly business reviews or offer those to our members. And those are so, like, just everything you explains why there is so vital and important to take advantage of that, but also why good reporting and accurate reports, you can track your health of your business, have accurate metrics. So I love that.
Yes, yes. And we've had such a wonderful welcoming from the team at Field Edge. I would love to just pause and say that thank you to all of you, but also your success teams and our partner teams that we've been working with have all expressed such a genuine excitement about this partnership. And I'm so glad that you brought up the quarterly business reviews, because these are areas that we spoke about through our discussions, is how can we not only support the contractors, but how can we also support your growth managers in their endeavors with the contractors? And they have such a wonderful relationship. And that's something Dawn and I have admired as we've talked about this on the side. Field Edge has such a great culture, such a great energy, and you can see it with the relationships with the contractors and the growth managers. So that's another question that we're frequently asked is, well, how are you different from my growth manager? And the answer is, we're there to partner and support. In some ways, we can bolster the efforts that are highlighted in the quarterly business reviews, or we can take them on as a turnkey service, which is, okay, your Field Edge growth manager has identified these core areas that you need to build out or we're recommending, but that contractor may not have the time or the resources to actually do that work. And that's where they can bring us in. So it really is a wonderful partnership where we can provide insight and information, collaborating on behalf of the contractor. And then actually, I was going to try to use a sports analogy, but it left me. Take the ball over the goal.
There you go.
I like it.
But the idea is working in collaboration for the best outcome of the end user, your contractors.
And I just wanted to add to that, where contractors, when they're working with a growth manager, right, they have a certain amount of time with that growth manager, but they don't always have the growth managers don't always have that ability to meet with the contractor like every week or on a cadence that is going to suit that contractor. So that's also where we can come in, and we can, instead of working just at the high level, we can actually go into the nitty gritty and really help them understand that quarterly review and bring it to light. So we're able to spend a lot more time with a contractor and help them build that out.
Absolutely. And plus, you have the industry experience as well to add into that, so you can help them kind of conceptualize what they just received in a review and understand, like you said, the nitty gritty, the details. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the comments that gets said a lot, whether it's implementation or from established customers, is like, can you guys just like come in and make it work? And like, I'm excited because like we have a solution now,
yeah.
And it's you guys.
That's awesome.
So
I get to use my magic fairy dust.
Yeah.
So So I like to say that some contractors think that there is magic fairy dust that we can just sprinkle over the software and make it work. And it's really, right? Do you guys get
easy.
That?
I wish it was that easy.
So it does take strategy and consistency and hard work to get the most out of the platform. And it's really not the software, right? Any software is going to work for the business as long as they put the work into it.
Absolutely. Now, you guys actually work with a couple of different softwares. So that said, how exactly do you guys train your team to then turn around and train service businesses? Because it's not necessarily, you know, hey, here's this software, here's how you use this software. It's like, how do you apply this tool that you have to your business effectively? So like, what does that process internally look like for you guys?
Yeah, thank you for asking about our team. I love to talk about them. We are now a team of 20 nice. Consultants. So I mentioned earlier, we knew the concept was important. We had no idea it would resonate as much as it has. So over the years, we have developed an onboarding strategy to successfully bring on individuals that have two primary components. One, they must come from within the industry. That is so important. And it's a big differentiator with Powerhouse. Again, we attributed our initial success to the fact that we understood a contractor side of the screen. And so we carried that forward as our hiring best practice, but also individuals that were directly involved with the software. We do have different departments within Powerhouse. So we have consultants that specialize in particular software, and we try not to cross over. That way they are true product specialists in the software that they are consulting on. And Dawn and I are in agreement. You know, the software is certainly a skill set that most individuals have when they come to us. So that's not really the part that we focus on. We focus a lot on developing how to be a consultant, which is in itself a unique skill set. I always like to say there's a big difference between coaches and consultants. And this is one of the key components that we train our team on. Coaches have very particular ways of doing things, proven methodology. Absolutely. So this is how you do it. Please don't ask questions. Just follow my roadmap. Whereas a consultant does the scratch and sniff. Let's ask the questions. Let's learn. Let's figure out what makes your business unique. And at that point, we can provide our expertise about the different options that you have. So I would say that's the biggest part of our onboarding, is really focusing on those soft skills of how to be an excellent consultant to our contractors.
And we actually did a training really recently for our team, and we really talked about likening it to fire prevention, right? We're not putting out fires, we're preventing fires. And that is by investigating, following up, making sure that the workflows that we helped develop are being supported by the reports. Are there any missing gaps? And so we really try to keep a pulse on our clients' accounts. I don't even know if I said that right, but our clients' accounts, sorry about that, and really know what's going on and letting them know, like, hey, I'm seeing an issue here. Is there something going on? Is there something that we can help you with? And our team really, really excels at that.
I'm so glad Dawn highlighted that. That really goes back to easing the burden from the contractor, knowing that they have eyes and ears on their account, a subject matter expert, a trusted resource who will let them know when there's opportunity. Maybe it's some team members need additional training, or perhaps we invested in creating a new workflow and it's not being used, right? These are areas that it's one thing to create the solution. It's another to make sure that it's being carried out long term, and to have a consistent and trusted source taking more of a proactive approach to managing the software can ease a big burden from our contractors.
Absolutely. I like the fire prevention analogy.
That's a good one.
Because I don't know about you guys, I would much rather prevent a fire than have to deal with the fire. So,
yes. Yeah.
We all really enjoyed this. Don made us Smokey the Bear.
My first attempt at using Canva. Nice. It went a little over the top, but, you know, it got the point home.
That's as someone who also recently started using Canva, that's like a rite of passage.
Right, yes.
So. Get design happy.
I'm curious, where do you, just cause since you have the both sides of the spectrum here, when field service businesses are getting a new software, some of them can be very overwhelmed. They get in there and some people fall off. That happens, unfortunately. I'm curious, what do you think the mindset is around that? It's like, I know people are busy just implementing, getting their clients set up. Do you think it's just all of that combined and just learning a new program? And I'm curious your thoughts on that and ways to get around it.
I can only guess. What would be in the minds of contractors when they're in that position. Don could probably speak from personal experience having implemented software for a contractor directly while in the office. But based on what I've heard over the years and what I can surmise as a business owner and as a human, when you have 100 tasks all requiring your attention, and then you add one more, but it's a big one, and it is going to control every aspect of your business. It's important. Where do you segment mentally? Where do you say, okay, I have to put 100 of these items on the shelf so I can give my full and complete attention to learning a new software, possibly changing the way my business is currently doing things? Then I have to train my team and make sure they're doing it. It can be quite an overwhelming experience and can almost be deflating if an individual feels like they're not mastering that task. And so, again, going back to that relief that we see when we partner with a contractor is we're able to take all of that off of their plate. One of the biggest areas that we provide value in, especially in implementation, is serving almost as a project manager between the wonderful implementation teams and the contractor, helping them to understand what's next, what do you need, what dependencies do we have, and then discussing before or after those particular phases, okay, where are you stuck? Where do we need to focus more? Giving extra throughout the process to make sure that we're easing that load and taking the burden off, but providing that expertise. So it's not 100% on one person to learn and to execute and to master and to get it right that first time.
Implementation is definitely a full-time job. So if you have a full-time job, now you have maybe two full-time jobs. And, so you have to get through the day of your regular work and then also get through the work of implementation on the software. And then change management is such an important key for these offices. So especially if you have team members who are used to doing things the way that they've always done them. And, you know, there is a lot of resistance to change. And what we can also do, so in addition to being those project managers, is how can we support the team members who are having those, you know, challenges, understanding there's a new way to do it. It's not that they don't understand it, but what they were doing is working for them. And it's hard. It's really hard. So we try to give those people extra support, right? So maybe sometimes there's more one-on-one training or, you know, just even being a sounding board where, you know, they need to vent and we understand we've been there, right? So we do have a phrase here at Powerhouse that I kind of coined, and that's ask me how I know. Nice. And that's because I actually have it on the back of my shirt, but it's because we've been there. We do understand. We understand how hard it is, but also we can help get them over that hurdle.
Well, that just puts a human touch to it as well, because at the end of the day, it's just people trying to run their business, it's their livelihood. So yeah, I love that.
So Dawn, you mentioned in the, earlier about like streamlining processes, mm-hmm. and sort of how that's something that you guys really, really focus in on. Do you guys have any examples of like what streamlining those processes actually looks like for your clients?
Well, I guess we could do, first of all, you're speaking my language. Second of all, second of all, we could always, you know, I don't know if we're going to tease our webinar coming up, but we definitely have some sneak previews on workflows that we recommend inside of Field Edge, and there's 5 daily habits. But, you know, we have workflows and then we have work streams, right? So you could be talking all about your service agreements or all about your accounting process, but then there's micro processes within the big process. So whether or not it's, we'll go to accounting and accounts receivable, right? So there's that one part. There's the part of finalizing your work orders, not just completing them, making sure that they're accurate before they get synced up with your accounting software. So we look at the workflows, but we also look at the little individual work streams as well.
So I guess I'll move that up. So hey guys, Powerhouse, they're gonna do an awesome webinar for anybody that's using Field Edge. So If you're listening to this and you are using Field Edge and you want to get on that, either check your email. If you log in, there should be a pop-up. You know, we really want to make sure you get on with these guys because they are awesome. Or you can go to Facebook, search Field Services Academy Insights, join the group there, and then you can register for the webinar that way. A big challenge that I see in service businesses a lot of times is communication, whether that's management to everybody else or just like the office to the field side. What are your guys' thoughts on using software to improve that? Whether it's like two-way texting, having some sort of like IM service like Slack or Teams. Is it a must-have, or, you know, what do you think?
I think it's a must-have, but, you know, you could always use phones, you know. Mm-hmm. Telephones still work, but if you don't have the fancy texters or anything like that. But yeah, absolutely. It's so important for a dispatcher to be able to talk to their technicians to find out what's going on. Is the customer not home anymore and they can't collect payment? Do they need additional resources? So certainly technology can aid that. But some companies, you know, just getting onto a field service management software is enough technology. So I think, you know, I love automations. There's some really great automations and reminders inside of Field Edge that contractors can take advantage of. But so, yeah, I love the SMS texting and being able to communicate inside of the software. And I think the biggest advantage of it is when there is also an audit trail so that you can actually look and see who did what and when and what communication was captured inside of the software, because you have it all in one place.
I think communication is critical within organizations. That will make or break the initiatives and goals that are set forth if they're not communicated properly. And expanding on a phrase that Dawn mentioned earlier, if change management isn't handled effectively, then the process will never be carried out in its intended fashion. So from a software standpoint, make sure that the new software adoption is handled properly internally, that new processes and workflows are communicated effectively, and that team members feel empowered, that they not only heard it, but they understood it, and they understood the impact that it has on their job or their coworkers, their coworker's job. You know, to Don's point, the relationship between a dispatcher and a technician is crucial, and they have to understand if they're not carrying through their process, how that directly affects their coworker back at the office or vice versa. So I think proper communication within an organization is critical, and really leveraging technology to ensure that you are speaking to each employee in a variety of mediums is definitely necessary.
I wanted to just put one other thing out there, mm-hmm. is that sometimes your processes, the most successful companies that I see have a really great culture, first of all, of accountability. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that does start with process, right? So everybody knows what their job is and what they have to get done throughout that day. So, you know, some of the companies are like, it's a daily huddle or something like that at the beginning of the day. What do you have to do to win that day? So with a process-driven company, these employees not only know the why, I mean, they also not only know the how, they know the why, right? So they understand how their job impacts the rest of the team, and they're not going to let each other fall. So having those good processes in place and having that accountability is key.
So I'm curious, just changing subject here, with the state of the economy, the world, pricing, everything, you will have members or customers that'll say, you know what, I love this software, but I might need to trim back, or they might be hesitant to purchase a software because of expenses. My question is, do you think it can help cut back on internal administrative costs? And when people are having those conversations with themselves, should I take the leap or not? Are they not looking at the future, like down the line of like, what will this do for me? Like, a year, 2 years, 5 years down the line versus like now?
My easy answer is that they can't afford not to. They cannot afford not to invest in software and not to invest in identifying streamlined processes by leveraging that software, because of all of the things that you mentioned, the economy, the labor shortage in our industry, which, you know, is it still here? Is it gone? Yes, still here. It's hard. It's different. It's a totally different landscape than we saw, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. And so the beauty of technology is that it allows our industry to say people focused, which is what's made this industry so special. It relies heavily on the people that come to work every day and perform the services, whether in the office or in the field. But the technology is allowing them to do their jobs with greater efficiency. And this is one of the things that I love to share with our team internally. The importance of the work that we do is we have a huge impact on not just contractors at the top, the owners, but for every individual that works for their company. Because when we build out the software in a way that it's meant to be, when we create efficiencies or automations, we are empowering each person within that company to perhaps take one more job that day, earn extra commission, right? Or have a more positive call booking experience because they have this wonderful process in place, or for the bookkeeper to be able to close the books with confidence. We're empowering each individual within the company with advantages to their own positions, thus creating a streamlined and well-oiled workforce. So I think the question is really, can I afford not to take advantage of this and really take full advantage of what the software can do? And I think a part of the frustration is the perceived cost of the software versus the value or the benefit that they're getting. Each contractor that we've spoken to that has that question, investment versus value output, is only using maybe 5 or 10% of the software. And what does it look like when we bump them up to 40% or 50% or, you know, close to 100%, then the software not only pays for itself, but so much else in the business.
And the only other thing that I'm going to say is I think that the contractors who don't or choose not to invest in their software, they're going to be left behind. Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, that's all there is to it. Nobody's expecting to see a paper invoice
anymore.
Does anyone have a checkbook anymore? Right. So
sadly, I'm not sure I remember how to write a check fully. Like, I have a checkbook still. Yeah. I do, but I sometimes have to Google, where do I write? Like,
yeah.
And you go through your whole book of checks hitting void because you wrote it out wrong.
Yeah, I get made fun of sometimes because I always carry a check, like a blank check, in my wallet.
Interesting. But
man, let me tell you, when that thing comes in handy, it's the best. It's the
best. Well, we were talking about my home renovation project, and I actually had to order checks so I could pay my contractor.
Oh man.
Sorry, so we'll get him on field edge. Field edge. Yeah,
we'll he was on not edge. On field okay. edge. So there you go.
So let's go back to that, because I want to talk about expand on that value to cost kind of conversation that we were having, where you said, like, you know, like, hey, if someone's really questioning the cost of their software, they might not be using a lot of it, but it's also hard because we don't know the things we don't know, right? So if there is a business owner who just doesn't know all the capabilities of a software, like, is there anything that you guys recommend for them to do to unlock its full potential?
Absolutely. I think the first step is always working with their growth manager within Field Edge. You know, there's a lot of wonderful resources at their disposal, directly from individuals that understand the software and know their account. And as Dawn pointed out, if they want to take it to the next level with a deeper analysis or product roadmap of how to really execute the findings, that's where we can come in as third-party support. We always recommend starting with that initial account audit. We refer to it internally as a health assessment, because that's really what it is. What is the health of your account? You know, is it barely breathing? Are you only using it to book your calls? Right? Or so how can we really bring the software to life conceptually is what we're doing within the health assessment phase, which uncovers all of the, I didn't know, but now I know. Now, once you have that knowledge, once the contractor is empowered with the knowledge of what they're using, what they're not using, capabilities that they're probably not even are aware is available to them. You know, that's another thing that we see a lot. Software continuously evolves. You know, Field Edge, you have incredible R&D, you understand what contractors need, and you're consistently coming out with updates to make the software better. And Ryan, I think you asked earlier about individuals that have been on the software for quite some time. It goes back to, if you don't have someone constantly managing, if you don't have your Smokey the Bear looking out for you, then there could be feature updates or releases that you're not aware of, that you have no idea because it wasn't there when you implemented the software. And so those are examples of what we can bring to light in that health assessment is, I don't know what I don't know. Here's the information. Now let's talk about what's most important to you. You know, pre-season, perhaps it's getting a good process in place for their service agreements, whether that is rebuilding the agreement workflow itself or setting up a process to automatically email and schedule those appointments. Again, taking the labor burden off of someone in the audience. Or perhaps it's accounting. So really identifying where a contractor's biggest needs are and then developing that roadmap. But the point is, once they have that information, they can then advocate for their business and say, this is what we need now.
Absolutely.
Very well put. So I'm gonna tack onto that. The value of talking to your customer success manager, your customer growth manager, and getting those, like, identifying those things. I guess what I'm saying is show up for your quarterly business reviews, guys. Regardless of whether you're using Field Edge, Service Autopilot, or some other software, They're free. It pays yeah. dividends, and they're there to help you. So absolutely. Going to the subject of like features and knowing what's available. I think having somebody to manage that stuff is awesome. That's just kind of always plugged in and learning about it. What about third-party integrations? Could you guys maybe expand on maybe some of the value that you guys see in that? Is it something that people should take advantage of? Because in my eyes, right, it really extends the value of your software.
Yeah. So I'll let Jenny kind of chime in a little bit more, but I spent a little bit of time this week really diving into Marketing Edge and the value of marketing to your own audience, right? So I know Jenny's our marketing expert, so I'll let her take that a little bit more. But I think that is so valuable.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, a feature add-on to the Field Edge product, but understanding what products are available to you within the Field Edge ecosystem, but also outside of that. And I think that might be where you were going, Ryan, was third-party integrations that power your software. And that's one of the areas that we really pride ourselves in here at Powerhouse, is understanding what does that ecosystem look like. And if there is not a native ability to do something within the software, where do we go next? Chances are there's a third-party technology partner ready to solve that problem. And it's a matter of awareness. So I think when we look at software optimization, it's not just that core native product, but it's also what does the ecosystem look like? And we take that on as our duty to understand what plays well with the software, what can solve this problem for a contractor that's not natively built. Dawn so poignantly said once, years and years ago, she said, "I like to think of us as a contractor's fiduciary," meaning we are acting in their best interest. And as such, we really have to know what is available to them. So we understand what the software can do, if there are current limitations, whether it's a nuance in the business or a custom workflow that goes outside of the norm, or even financing partners, right? Having different options to offer customers. So it's very important that we understand what that looks like and we're able to provide those options when the situations arise.
It's really, I just love how you really, really get to know your contractors, the businesses you work with. Like I can just tell how vital and important it is to really understand their businesses, their mindset, them as an ecosystem. So it feels very organic. I love that.
It is. I just, you know, I've worked as the first consultant of Powerhouse Consulting Group, right? I've worked with the majority, or at least until we've had this incredible growth of our contractors. And you really get to know them, not only, you know, on a business level, but a little bit on that personal level too, right? So it's always great when you have your weekly check-ins and they're, you know, like just talking about their family and what they did on the weekend. And even just recently, one of my clients and I just realized that we have like a favorite like YouTube channel in common, you know, so it's fun. It's really fun.
And that goes back to what I think makes this industry so special. You know, I fell into it accidentally all those years ago, and it was just a means to an end. It was a job at that time, but I stayed in it because of the people. And I think that's what makes it so exciting and so fulfilling, is we're working with hardworking individuals who want to do right by their company, by their employees, by their spouse, by their children. We're just humans trying to do a good job. And when you take care of each other and you have the proper intent, everybody wins.
I have to ask what the YouTube channel was.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's fantastic. Itchy Boots. Mm-hmm. And it is a woman from Denmark who rides her motorcycles
right?
solo around the world.
Seen some of that. That's killer.
Yeah, I love geography and sociology. So always dreamed of traveling to some of the places that she's traveled. So I get to do it vicariously through her. It's pretty awesome.
That's super cool.
That's wonderful.
One of the things that that I've learned working with this industry is that it is incredibly gratifying to be able to help these businesses. I guess I'm piggybacking on what Jenny said, like being able to like work with a business, work with an owner, put something in place that is like going to like change their business, seeing those light bulbs go off and stuff like that's, I think that's what keeps us coming back every day.
1,000,000%.
Couldn't agree more.
What emerging trends are you guys seeing in service management software? And like, how can any businesses prepare to adapt and stay ahead of the curve for those?
I think leveraging software is the emerging trend. I'm seeing a huge mindset shift in this is just another tool in my business to this is the tool that runs my business. And so I think it's really a mindset shift. And once you have that acceptance and willingness to fully leverage that software, going on the ride of all the places it can take you. Of course, the biggest emerging trends in the industry right now are all things automation and AI. And, you know, like we spoke on earlier, if you're not staying ahead of that, your business will continue to fall behind because the businesses that lean into automation when they are doing things that historically would take hours and hours of human labor time, and they're now automating it fully with software, well, that individual's profit margin just went up significantly without having to touch their labor, without having to bring on a new person, a new body. So I think embracing technology, embracing automation, and embracing AI, even though it's really scary, at least it is to me, it's a beautiful thing in the industry. And I think we're going to start to see, it was such exciting advancements in AI specifically. We're seeing an emergence of the call centers that have served the industry for so long wonderfully. They're now introducing AI chatbots. And so I think really understanding what's available and assessing to see if it's right for your business, but being open to that and not resistant to the change.
Well, for anybody playing Profit Roadmap Bingo, we got AI.
Oh yeah.
It's a running joke that we talk about AI on every single episode. AI always... Like it always comes up. Like since like ChatGPT like made some headlines and stuff, it's
I didn't know it was
always
a game.
Mention it. I'm just so curious about AI.
It always comes up. It always comes up. Yeah.
I mean, how can it not though? How can it not? And I personally I'm not of the technology generation directly, so the emergence of AI is quite intimidating because your mind thinks, well, you know, is it going to replace my job? I think that's so important, especially you know, as a CSR, will it replace a CSR's job? I think the answer is no. It can enhance.
Yes.
It can enhance. How can we use this to enhance our job? Even ChatGPT, I mean, I'm sure it's enhanced all of our emails or writing by this point. Like, did I say this correctly? Right? And so really embracing it and seeing as how can this benefit me? And how can it improve my day-to-day, allowing me to do the human component that will never go away.
It's just another tool in the toolbox.
For sure.
That's right.
And I think that comes back to the mindset thing, right? So like the mindset around AI and tools and stuff isn't a mindset of replacement. It's a mindset of empowerment. Like it's going to that's there to supercharge you, right? So I think there's a lot of fear around it and stuff, but I think most of the people we've had on the podcast have had a similar outlook, Jenny, where it's like, this is going to really help people, but that part's crucial. It's going to help people to like do their thing better. It's not just going to like
not yet, not yet.
Yet.
Right. Well, not yet. Let's hope. Let's hope some regulation is in place to learn that.
Yeah. I'm still going to be.
We all saw Terminator.
Yeah, I'm going to be really nice to my Google Home until you know, but.
I think that's important. I always use manners with Alexa. You know, please tell me this. Thank you.
Yeah, my girlfriend makes fun of me because I'll say thank you. You know, I'm just like, it's just good.
She'll remember one day. Like, you know,
right?
Yeah, right.
She will. Yeah, she will.
So you free up a lot of valuable time for these businesses. Where have you seen they've been able to focus that energy and time in other areas of their business?
That's such a great question. So many areas, but I think the biggest and most impactful is strategy. Having the time to lay strategy for the company, achieve growth goals, whether it's bringing on new team members, whether it's expanding services, to have the mind space to be able to dedicate to those strategic initiatives is so invaluable. And that's on the owner side when we're working directly with an owner who had historically taken on the software role. But we work with individuals at every position. As most of your listeners can probably relate, what we typically see is a segmentation of software. So the CSR owns the CSR process and the office manager might own this. And so everybody has their own little world within the software, but that world is not cohesive and it is not together and it doesn't understand what one or the other is doing. And so by bringing that awareness and synergy to all of the teams, we then enable the teams to become elevated and to work together to, you know, whatever it could be, book extra jobs or have an understanding of, maintenance agreement season is coming up, right? How do we properly staff for this? How do I schedule our technicians? Can they do that if they don't know how many they actually have? So when all of the teams are empowered and working synergistically together, the saying is a rising tide lifts all ships. And so by creating that synergy and cohesion, it lifts the entire company up, allowing for advancements in everyone's role according to that one common goal.
I never thought of it that way because I've spoken to businesses where it is kind of siloed like that, where the operations manager focuses on the dispatch and the accountant only handles invoicing. But if they're not talking, these things connect in the software with each other. So it's important to have like that cohesion, like you mentioned.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's quite common. It's natural. You become a specialist in the job that you're doing on a day-to-day basis, but we forget how that can have a lasting impact on every
Absolutely.
Other part
and
of
I,
the organization.
I think another thing, businesses like you, what you do is on a personal level. I know we had our Service Edge conference last November, and a lot of the personal stories are what get me because I'm like all emotional all the time, but like just the time you're able to save people to have with their Same. Families that they couldn't have before, like go to a kid's baseball game or spend time with their spouse. So it touches them on a personal level too. It's great.
Yes. I love that. Leveraging technology.
There you go.
So you have more time for baseball. That would, if my son was here, he would be like,
there you go.
That's it. But yeah, to your point, it does. And that's, it's something that means so much to me. And the extreme blessing that we have to work remotely. We can only do this because of technology. We at Powerhouse were able to build an incredible team all across the United States. Some of the best minds, in my humble opinion, in the industry that we never would have been able to know or to work with had we not leveraged technology. And so it's already made such a tremendous shift in work in general. And the positives that come with that are healthy work-life balances, more time with your family. None of that is possible if we're not actively leveraging that technology. And so kind of going back to what we were saying earlier, see it as your friend.
Exactly.
Not your enemy.
All you had to do is tell me to use technology to watch more Cowboys football. I'm a Cowboys fan. Oh boy, and the listenership just dived. I ruined everything. I'm sorry.
I'm a Kansas City fan. It's okay. You know what? It's all right.
Well, Dawn, Jenny, thank you guys so much for coming on to the Profit Roadmap podcast. If people want to learn more about you or Powerhouse Consulting Group, where can they find you guys?
Please visit our website at mypowerhouse.group. That one I always say is a little strange. We are not a .com, we are a .group. So it's mypowerhouse.group, or you can email us directly at hello@mypowerhouse.group. We are so thrilled to be a new professional services partner with Field Edge. Again, we cannot thank you enough for welcoming us so warmly as you have, and for inviting us to join you on your podcast and the webinar next week that we shamelessly plugged earlier. we are genuinely thrilled about providing support to your contractors and being that rising tide.
Yeah, super glad to have you guys on here. I'm looking forward to all the awesome stuff that's going to come out of this, because it's not just the podcast, it's not just the webinar. There's going to be so much value for all of our members just for having you guys on board. Absolutely. So looking forward to it.
Thank you, Ryan and Becca. We appreciate your time.
Thank you all for listening to the Profit Roadmap. And remember, you can listen to this show on all major streaming platforms, including Apple, YouTube, Spotify, and more. Be sure to visit our show notes at servicemodelpilot.com/podcast to get all the links to all topics we discussed in today's show. And if you have questions, you have guest recommendations, or you want to be at the show, please email us at profitroadmap@exploretechnologies.com. That is spelled XPLOR.